Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshitz. Hello, Dan.
What's going on, Joe?
Oh, nothing. All right, cat's out of the bag. We will still be doing the Over Under 985 podcast.
Every week. Nothing's changing with that.
We will still swear and say drop F-bombs and say shit. And
fuck Illinois.
And all that stuff. We will still do that here.
Yes.
But we have been backed by DraftKings. And we will be hosting a show, live sports betting talk show, 7 a.m. Eastern time. On the flagship of, well, whatever. We're like worldwide now. We're not like a Boston show anymore.
Yeah, so whatever. But the flagship station of the Patriots, Celtics, Bruins.
Is 98.5
the sports.
98.5 the
sports.
Where over under 98.5 comes in.
Correct.
So we'll be hosting shows on Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock.
So you can listen through the 98.5 the sports hub app. And if you can't make the show, it will be podcasted. We prefer you guys listen live to us because if you guys listen live, maybe we eventually move the time slot up, be a little bit easier for you to listen, and then, you know, get a little longer time slot, maybe in the football season. I don't know. Just kind of throwing out some ideas. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. So my suggestion, go to your phone, click the app store, search 98.5 the Sports Hub.
98.5.
98.5 the Sports Hub. Click it, download it, and then you can tap that app.
And once you open the app, there'll be a little play button in the left corner. Once you open it, you just press it, you'll hear us on Saturday mornings.
So that's how you can listen to us on Saturday mornings. And I believe, Dan, because of your production skills, you will post this to the website.
The actual podcast?
Yeah, the show.
Yes.
The actual show.
So the show will be on the website just as the other podcasts are to download and listen to, and it will be in a larger area. I believe they're working on improving our website.
Our reach
and availability on the website, so that will be a little bit easier to find for you.
So if you're not up at 7 a.m., you can still listen. And just my suggestion, though, is if you are up at 7 a.m., listen live.
And give us a call.
Yes!
617-779-0985. Only call when we're on the air. We can't call. We can't do podcast calls, but 617-779-0985, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Saturday. Give us a call. Ask us your sports betting questions, whether it's college basketball, NBA, NHL, baseball, hockey, football. Who gives a crap? Whatever it is.
And we're starting this week with the off week before the Super Bowl. So,
Pro Bowl.
I'm sure. We got the Pro Bowl.
We got the Pro Bowl. We got All-Star Game.
Oh, yeah. Lovely weekend to get started.
It's a lot of degenerate stuff. And, hey, let's not forget, there is a big, big day of college basketball Saturday.
That is right.
So, you call in, ask us any of your college basketball questions. We'll discuss them.
Yes. And I know people get an itch over the weekend. I got an itch this weekend in the NBA. I'm 2-0 this week in the NBA. But I did watch two games last night that I didn't bet. But the wrangle was in full effect, and both games went over. I don't know how the New Orleans game went over. Maybe it was Zion 17 points in 4 minutes. I don't know.
I believe that was probably it.
But the wrangle's real, baby. And if you lose the wrangle, you lose by a half a point.
And again, if you lose the wrangle, you lose, but you win more, way more than you lose on the wrangles.
Yes. And
they did very, very well this year, like very well.
So we have a show. We have a show. Yay. We can't swear, though. And you can't either.
Yeah.
But
we'll right. have to dump you if you swear.
So moving on from that, last week, Dan, we had the championship weekend. The Chiefs was your PP.
Yep.
They won big.
You were on them as well.
I tailed. I took the under garbage touchdown at the end of the game. Garbage.
Yeah.
Whatever. You can't take it.
Third quarter was basically scoreless. I thought we were going to get it for a little while.
So with the Super Bowl coming up, it's going to be hard to take an under with the Chiefs going forward.
Everyone is on the over. The whole world.
It's moved. It's moved 2 points.
Yeah. Still, I don't. We'll discuss it. We'll discuss it.
And then the other game. Whoa. Already yawner. Already
tired.
49ers and Packers. So the reason why I took the Packers +8, I was hoping for some sort of hedge. Last week I gave out betting both Moneyline parlay.
Yep.
So I'll be honest. I put $1,000 on a Moneyline 49ers and a money line Chiefs. It paid out like $689. It won.
See, I
wouldn't advise that. But it won.
I wonder if you could have teased it for more.
Oh, I did. I teased it. I put $1,100 to win a Geno.
Okay, so the tease.
So I won $1,689 on a $2,100 bet.
Tease paid out a little bit better. Gotcha.
All on DraftKings app, of course. Legally in New Hampshire,
of course.
So I went 3-2. I thought I was going to get a little lucky there with a little touchdown at the end, and it didn't work out. Richard Sherman, with the interception there. So, no real surprises last week, even though the Chiefs, and I took the over in the 49ers game.
Yes, you did. And you also took Chiefs second half, which is your, 3-2 in the NFL there. I had the Chiefs. And then I think we had a pretty good Saturday. I think we went 5-1 or something like that in college
Saturday,
basketball.
You Saturday, you hit college basketball. And the McGregor 1.5 didn't hit. I'll take the L. 40-second fight. That's what sucks about that sport, though. Like, UFC so good, man. But you get a big match, and it ends in 40 seconds.
It's such a dud.
And the undercards, all the dogs. So if you just bet the preliminary, like we talked about, you hit for $400.
Yeah.
If you took the dogs in every single match, you won $225. And one of them was +650. Like a +650 dog, that doesn't happen often.
No, that was a nice hit.
Now, I will say this. There are people out there, it's not a productive way to gamble. You're probably right. It's not. But if you're just sitting around with your friends like I was on a snowstorm, shit, I hit $225 off $50. Good day. It's a good day.
I'll take that return. That's a nice return.
And then I did have the TKO -200 that hit. So I ended up winning altogether. I won money. It was like $167, I think.
Yeah, so I did not bet UFC. College basketball was very good Saturday. It's been up and down the rest of the week. We had a 2-0 day, then an 0-3 day, then a 2-1 day, then a 1-1 day. I don't know. It's been up and down. So, whatever. Saturday was real nice to us. It's about the long term. I've said it numerous times about long term winning and, kind of just keeping that path and whatever. So, we'll get more into it. Continuing deep college basketball season. We're almost in February. So, we still got about 6 weeks of conference play, which is really good. So to me, we're good.
So Dan, I just wanted to share something quickly. I tried to keep a spreadsheet earlier in the year.
Me too.
It was too hard. And then you pretty much track everything. That's our lifetime record at the Action Network.
Yep.
So people have asked me, hey, Joe, why have you kept a record since 8/24 of 2019? And it's because that was week zero of college football.
Gotcha.
So my bankroll didn't start until that week, and that was when Florida played Miami, if people remember.
Yep, and
that Florida couldn't tackle a soul.
Was it Hawaii, Arizona?
And then Hawaii, Arizona that night. So those were the first two games. Since then, I've tracked everything, and you can search it all on Twitter. I'm 270, 172, and 12. That is through the 22nd.
It's fucking great.
Now, you talked about, though, long-term betting. That's where this is profitable. Just, all right, I'm going to post a play. I'm going to bet it. Or I'm going to pick it, and boom. So that's where my bankroll is right now.
Yeah, and again, people are upset with me for not doing the same thing. Look, I try, but like I already have other things going on. I do all the input on the Action Network and do all the other stuff. I don't have time to keep a record too. I will next year. I should do it. It's probably something I should do. There's a record of like the first like 12 weeks of college football season up that we have, but I stopped updating it after that. You can go through the Action Network. It has every one of our plays lifetime since we, except for the first 6 months of the podcast, because we weren't using the Action Network. I don't even know if the app was out yet, to be honest with you. I don't know what we're using.
But if you look at it, you'll see we're generally like 58%. Which is great. It's fantastic. We don't claim to be experts. We're guys who just love to bet on games. I bet spots and trends. Dan is a little different.
I like to bet in college basketball. I'm a spot better.
I'm more of a like fuck that bet kind of guy. Like, for example, we have one this weekend, which we'll tease in a little bit here. But you know, Friday night is Butler Marquette.
It's a good game.
I'm backing the underdog because they've won three in a row. But why does Vegas have a team that's lost three in a row, 6.5-point favorites at home?
Yeah. I mean, they're the better team, for sure.
Yeah. It's just, it's weird, right? And I'm like, to me, that's a fuck that bet. I'm backing the team that's won three in a row that's going on the road.
Yeah.
That has the better player. Yeah, but Vegas probably knows something I don't, and if I lose, I lose. But
is that your first college basketball bet of the year?
No. I actually tailed your Davidson the other night.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Tailed
that
Davidson.
That was an easy point.
There was a UC Irvine game last night. I have to tell you about this. The second half total was 70.5. When I went to put in the bet, it moved from 70.5 to 70. UC Irvine missed a free throw with 18 seconds left. It was a 7-point game. They let Long Beach dribble out the clock, and it's the second half stayed at 70.
Did you bet the over or the under?
I bet the under, so I pushed.
But that hook.
But how the hell do you let someone run out the clock in a 6-point game with 18 seconds left?
Dude, Vegas is so spot on with all this stuff.
Spot on.
It's unreal.
There was a game the other night. I'm trying to think of who it was. I saw the total, and I'm like, ugh. That's an under game for me. Oh, no. Baylor-Oklahoma game the other night.
Yeah.
Was that Oklahoma? Yeah, Baylor was number one team. But, like, that game, second half, like, was going to go over if one in the overtime. It was close. And then Baylor, they're going to get beat by somebody, dude. They're not the number one team in the
game. Baylor, to me, I've watched them a lot this year. Baylor is a really good team who plays up or down to whoever they're playing. That's all they do. They just play to the other team's level. That's it. So, to me, that's who they are.
Let's talk college basketball. The NFL Super Bowl is next week. There's a ton of prop bets out there. We'll get to them. I don't know. I didn't see anything I really like so far yet. I saw, like, bullshit ones. Like, will J-Lo show her ass? Or, like, you know, I don't care. Like, the Antonio Brown, will he get fired? Will he get arrested? That one's already kind of...
Already cashed. He already has an arrest warrant out.
But, like, I had a friend one year at a party. It was the Colts-Bears Super Bowl.
That was an ugly Super Bowl.
He bet the coin toss, the Bears would receive the football, a kick return would happen in a game, and, like, the national anthem would go under or something like that. He bet 5 bets, won $500, and left the party. And it was the one that Devin Hester returned the touchdown first play of the game.
Yep.
He won everything on the first play of the game.
That's amazing.
But, and think about it. The coin toss, the possession, everything. He left. No shit, I would too. Right? What else would you have done all night? But like that was like a thing in my life. I'll never forget that.
That was the Pats Super Bowl. That was 2006. That was the Pats
year
Super
they Bowl. Lost the AFC Championship.
The absolute
blow. Oh, yeah. God. But it was so funny. He came over. I had a party. He hit the – Hester went back to the house. He goes, I just want $500. And he was like, I'm out. And he just fucking left. We didn't see him the rest of the night. I was like, good for him.
Seriously. I mean, that's the way to do it. Anyways. Dive in, dive out.
All right. We got college basketball. We have
Super Bowl
stuff as well.
Are we going to do the Pro Bowl? Should we do the
Pro
Bowl?
Let's just entertain it.
Okay.
Royal Rumble is this weekend. I'll give you 25
seconds
of it.
I'll give you the odds, but I know nothing about it.
But it's going to be a shorter podcast.
The NHL. We should save the Pro Bowl and the NHL All-Star Game for the live show.
Okay.
Here's the deal. If you guys really want to bet the Pro Bowl or you want to bet the NHL All-Star Game, call us on Saturday.
Oh, God. I'm not doing it. I might, but I'm not.
Call us on Saturday. We'll discuss it. We'll definitely discuss it Saturday. Yeah.
All right, so what do you want to do here? Super Bowl, like, preview here? Or
let's do some college basketball.
All right, college basketball. I'm getting that itch. I've been watching the Big Ten, Dan. There's some trends.
God, I hate watching the Big Ten this year. How about that Northwestern game the other night? What? I mean,
they suck. Never touch them.
Dude,
I know it. I saw your tweet and I go, oh, can I bet Maryland? Can I bet Maryland?
I'll tell you this. Some kid was like, you don't know nothing about Big Ten college basketball. This has been the trend all year.
I saw that.
And then he's like, Maryland's a second half team. They come back and plus the home teams always win. So then the home team didn't win, which is the trend all year. But Maryland came back and won. So which is it? Is Maryland a second half team? Or Big Ten teams.
No, I think Northwestern sucks.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They suck.
And that's exactly what I told them. I said those asses
last year every game.
So I backed them one time this year. They lost. They were up by like 8 with 2 minutes left. And they ended up losing by 6 on the 5.5-point spread. And I was like, never again. I'm done. They're out.
They're not a good basketball program.
Put them on the list.
That's another
thing. Northwestern college basketball on the list.
So people will find this funny, but we have to make commercials. And I suggested take some things from the podcast and we'll use it. The list.
The list.
the list. The list of teams not to bet anymore. I wonder if Kansas is one of those teams.
No, they're not. Northwestern college basketball is on the list.
All right.
Just like Illinois college football on the list.
Shorter podcast this week.
Yeah.
Funnier stuff. We're celebrating that we got a show on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. The number again, 617-779-0985. Put it in your phone. So, like, if you're not in Boston, but you know it's 7 a.m. and you want to call, like, when you call, you put on hold and you can listen to what's happening on the show.
Yes. You can hear what's going on in the show, and then you'll hear a little ding, and you'll be on.
And I'll be like, hey, you're on. And you'll be like, what do you guys talk about? What do you want to talk about, buddy? That's what the whole show is going to be about.
Yeah.
By the way, I'll give a cheap plug. DraftKings, they have an app. It's very good to use. And right now, if you use code SportsHub, you can get up to a $500 deposit bonus.
Yes.
I don't know how it works, but use code SportsHub.
There is a rollover involved, so you have questions, feel free to ask me. But, that is the way it's working. And, again, you can feel free to ask us those questions. We will try and get back
to you. And if you ask us, hey, what's a good sports book to use, we're probably going to say DraftKings.
Especially if you're in New Hampshire or New Jersey.
There you go. All right.
And I believe it's coming in New York real soon.
Yeah.
And hopefully Massachusetts.
And our friends over at Twin River, great friends over there who like to go and get receipts, you know, because sometimes it's good to have a receipt.
I like tickets.
I like my ticket.
I like tickets. I'll tell you, I was in New Hampshire when the DraftKings app started, when illegal betting was started there, and I used it. So I like it.
All right. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We're celebrating, I guess. We're celebrating. But we got college basketball to get to, and it's coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at over under 985.
Over under 985, college basketball, baby. Yeah. I will say this, just off the bat, for those who are new or haven't been really tailing college basketball, I haven't been in it like Dan has. I won a lot of money in college football this year. And I just, it hasn't been time for me yet, but the one thing for me, I can't really figure who the stars are in college basketball right now. Like, the big stars.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest with you, I don't know if there is one. Like, it was supposed to be Wiseman, and obviously that didn't work out with Memphis, and, you know, there's no Zion, there's, like, nothing like that this year. I mean, there are definitely some good players, but, like, I think LaMelo Ball, who's not even playing college basketball, is a bigger name than any guys playing in college basketball right now.
So let me give you a couple, and I just kind of pulled this up quickly. Cassius Winston, I think we all know from Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, Winston's been around for a long time.
They'll be a team they haven't been a great team, though. They're good.
They're in the mix. Yeah, they're in the mix this year.
I think Marcus Howard is going to be a star in the NBA. He's small, though.
He is small, and the thing is, hasn't he missed a whole bunch of time for Marquette?
He's had some injuries, yep.
Okay, that's the one thing that's always concerned me with.
Speaking of it, Miles Powell, another kid from Seton Hall.
Same type of deal, but I love Powell.
He's a big shot maker, though.
Can you imagine Powell and him playing together? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Cole Anthony's a freshman from UNC.
Yes, he's barely played this year. He's been out almost, actually, like a
disappointment. Trey Jones of Duke.
Which, you know, from last year, we're paying attention to Duke. I mean, whatever. I mean, Anthony Edwards is, like, the big guy from Georgia. Like, and no one even knows who he is. Same thing with Obi Toppin, who's the kid who plays for Dayton. And that kid is... I like him. He's like a plodding forward. He's in between. He's a big kid. But, like, I don't know, man. There's not a whole bunch of names this year. Like,
well, Tristan Clark is on Baylor.
Yeah.
And, again, that's what I'm trying to – I guess my point right now, Dan. Like, Caleb Wesson, you know, like, these are supposed to be names this year.
Anthony Edwards is supposed to be, like, the big name. Wiseman and Edwards. And – you know, neither of them. Wiseman obviously stopped playing in Memphis, and Anthony Edwards has been good for Georgia, but, like, hasn't put on a show. Like, LaMelo Ball is the biggest name to me, and that's because he's a Ball brother. I mean, and Wiseman, and that's it. I don't think if you ask most people, you know, do you know who, you know, RJ Hampton is? Do you know who, you know, Vernon Casey is? Do you know who Cole Anthony is? Like, do you know who these kids are? Like, Nico Mannion, who's played pretty well for Arizona. I mean, no one's even heard of him. Jaden McDaniels, yeah. He's playing for Washington, is like the next superstar for Washington, replaces Markelle Fultz. No one's ever heard of him. Like, no one's talking about these kids.
Yeah, like Luca Garza of Iowa. He's a kid that I've watched.
And I like Garza, but yeah.
He's nice little player.
Is he even going to be a first-round pick? I don't even know.
I don't know. And just like when it comes to bit like Azubuike, right, from Kansas, they're probably – and they're just not great guys. And I just pulled up the stats quickly because I kind of wanted to see like who the leaders were in the country.
Yeah.
You know, Marcus Howard, we mentioned, leads – but he can go for 50.
But see, I don't even know if Howard or Powell will be first-round picks. Like, those are guys who light up the college boards, and I don't know if they're going to be first-round picks in the NBA. So it's tough, like – same thing with Cassius Winston. I mean, like, I think that guy's probably more of a second-round pick. Same with Trey Jones. Like, those guys are second-round talent, maybe late first-round talents. They're not lotto guys. They're, you know, juniors, seniors in college, guys who've been around for a while.
Yeah, and Peyton Pritchard, probably another. I like him from Oregon. I mean, like, I'm just kind of looking through, like, the list right now. But that's the thing, Dan. It's wide open this year. There is no dominant player out there.
Agreed.
So I teased this earlier, but on Friday night, the only top 25 game is Baylor. Is Marquette and Butler. Butler's at home. I saw 6.5. It's now at 5.5 most places. Butler's had a tough stretch. They're 10-1 at home this year, 15-4 overall. I like Marquette in the spot. They've won 3 in a row. Butler's lost 3. I understand that Butler's the better team, but like a Saturday on the road, give me Marquette. I think they're playing better right now. I'm not sold on the total of 137 yet. I lean under off the bat, but like, give me the best player going on the road in the spot.
Yeah. This one's a tough one. I would expect Butler to be the sharp side. To me, I think that once you get into that 5.5 to 6 point area, you're looking at a fairly decent, convincing win. And the fact that they opened at 5 is interesting at the very least to me. I don't know. I think that the line is probably about right. I would maybe lean Marquette slightly. Butler hasn't been that bad. You know, like, teams have the same record against the spread this year. Both 12-7. Marquette's 2-3 on the road. Butler's 7-3 at home. So, you know, Butler's been a good home team, and they're 10-1 at home, Joe. So, you know, do you think that Marquette's going to pull that upset on the road? I don't know about that. I think Butler plays better at home as well. I would lean Marquette to cover, but it's tough. I mean, those are just they're good teams, man. They are.
Yep. And you know, another game, and maybe you can go through the rest of the card here, but I just wanted to go through games that I watched. I watched Wisconsin second half the other night, perform very well against Nebraska. I think where they hit like 14, 15 threes.
Yeah.
In that game. Their whole team is back last year besides the big kid. Who's the big kid that had last year? Was really good. Whatever. But Purdue has been a very good home team, but they got their asses handed to them by who? Illinois.
I fucking hate that school. they are my bugaboo forever and ever.
To me, I like Purdue in this game at home.
It's interesting. It's a good bounce back spot for Purdue, I think. Here's my problem.
Yeah, I think it was Hap was the big star last year.
Yeah. Here's my problem right now. Wisconsin is playing at a level that is incredible. Now, I'm a spot better, right? Against the spread, Purdue is 6-4 at home this year. They've been a very good home team. They're 9-4, whatever. They're a good home team. Wisconsin has not been a good road team. Hard for me to back Purdue in the spot. Probably the right side, Joe. Like, based upon the factors you look at, probably the right side. I just don't love them. There is one side that I really like tomorrow if you're looking for something, Joe, and this will probably be the public side, so it's certainly not sharp per se. I like Iona -2 versus Canisius tomorrow. Not a great team facing not a great team, but Iona has been terrible against the spread and even worse at home. 1-3 against the spread at home this year. Canisius sucks, and I think Iona probably at that -2 is getting a little disrespected there. That line probably should be -4 just based upon what I would think. So, I mean, the card for Friday really isn't great. Kent State, Buffalo, Niagara, Monmouth, Fairfield, Quinnipiac. I mean, there's nothing I love. Yale Brown is probably one of the bigger games. Same with Northern Kentucky at Wright State. So Iona is probably my favorite play on the card tomorrow.
Just getting back to Wisconsin, Purdue. In Purdue's losses this year, they're 9-42 from 3-point land. Like, that's their big issue. Purdue has won the last 3 home meetings against Wisconsin by an average of 16 points. So, like, right now, yeah, Wisconsin's the better team. Micah Porter has been very good for them. He was, ineligible at one point, and he's now back here. But, yeah, Wisconsin's playing better. They're 12-7, Purdue's 10-9 on the year. Wisconsin's been better in the Big Ten. Give me the home team in the spot. What's the spread right now
Spread is four. Here's my biggest problem. Here's the biggest problem with me backing Purdue. Wisconsin is the 17th ranked defense in the country right now, yeah. right? Their defense is fantastic, and you know what Purdue struggles with is offense. Offensively, they're struggling 277th in the country at points per game. Not to mention free throws. We talk about how big free throws are down the stretch and backing teams with good free throw shooters in certain spots. Well, Purdue is one of the worst teams in the country, 298th in free throw percentage at 66%. Meanwhile, Wisconsin's 91st at 67.9. Again, I know it's only we're talking about, you know, a basically 2% difference, but it's a massive discrepancy. Yeah. And to me, it's hard to back a team in a spot versus a better team. I think Wisconsin's a better team that just continuously outplays them. Now, the thing is, Purdue's defense is elite, 14th in the country, and Wisconsin's offense is just as anemic, 281st in the country. Yeah. So two elite defenses going out versus two offenses, you know everyone's going to be on the under.
And for some reason, Purdue is favored against Illinois, got smoked. They're favored again after a loss. Interesting.
It certainly is interesting. Honestly, I lean Purdue. It's just you won't see me back in. Now, Joe, the line, the over-under is 115 tomorrow. I actually initially lean over. I do.
It's too low.
I think it's too low. Even these teams are still averaging about 60, 65 points per game. So even
who's the
though,
big man now on kid with the haircut? He's shooting threes.
For Purdue?
That big bastard. Harms. Arms?
Yeah, Arms.
Matt Harms.
Yeah, Harms is
dude, he's hitting fantastic. Threes now.
Dude, he's a legit player. Like, I mean,
you think he's gonna, I don't know if he can go pro though.
I don't think he's big enough to go pro.
Like body wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't have enough skill to like, I don't know. Well, I guess he's someone to keep an eye on. If he can develop a shot like that, he'll be better. One other game I just want to get to, Wright State, Northern Kentucky. Like, these are two good teams, man. Right now, Wright State's -3. They're playing at home. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games.
This might be one of the biggest games in the Horizon League. Now, again, we're talking about the Horizon League, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. But again, Northern Kentucky, 14-6, 6-2 in the Horizon League. Wright State, 17-4 and 7-1 in the Horizon.
Yeah, my only look at it is that Wright State's playing better and they're at home. But Northern Kentucky, 7-3 on the road this year.
To me, Northern Kentucky is the play.
And Northern Kentucky, 12-6 against the spread.
Again, to me, if you're looking for a small upset tomorrow, you want to play something small for fun, I don't, you know, that's not me recommending a player, PPing it or anything. But again, I'll go back to free throw percentage at the end of the game, Joe. Wright State cannot convert their fucking free throws. And it just, to me, it's so important to finish up a game strong. Now, they're one of the best rebounding teams in the country. And so that's going to come with some issues, but hard to back Wright State against a team like Northern Kentucky.
All right, moving on to Saturday. Let's have some fun with it. Let's do a little lightning round here because we don't really have odds.
There's no lines yet.
Pittsburgh, Syracuse, out on Syracuse.
Oh, God. Syracuse has been terrible this year. Pittsburgh has been up and down. I would lean Syracuse even though they're on the road.
Ugh. God, I don't want to touch that one. Illinois at Michigan.
Fuck Illinois. Give me Michigan. Michigan is now being underrated after being severely overrated to start the year.
I agree.
They were a top five team in a non-top five spot, but now we're underrating Michigan. They're a borderline top 25 team. They should pull the victory off Illinois after they... That was a tough win versus Purdue. Got to give them credit for that one.
On the road. Iowa State at number 16, Auburn.
Iowa State just spanked whoever they're playing the other night. I'm blanking on it. But Auburn is starting to show some cracks, man. Like, legitimately.
They beat Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, yeah. Who, again, by the way, is causing so many. They're just their turnover machine.
But they lost to Texas Tech the game before that.
Yeah. Again.
So they're, like, on a game, off a game. Typical Big 12.
However, Auburn... you know, two bad losses on the road, Florida and Alabama. I'm not ready to fade them at home or anything, but they're a team you might want to look at on the road.
So I've been wrong about West Virginia. They play Missouri. Missouri with a heartbreaker to Texas A&M the other night. They've lost. So they've lost to Texas A&M. They lost to Alabama. They've lost to Mississippi State. They somehow beat Florida, though.
Who, Missouri?
Yeah.
Were they on the road?
No, they were
home versus Florida.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, they beat the, and again, like, that's not much of a surprise when you're going to see one of the, you know, these teams have some duds on the road. Here, let me put it like this. West Virginia, and one of our followers actually talks about West Virginia basketball a lot, have been incredibly impressive. I mean, they lost at Kentucky in poor fashion. Like, they didn't cover, and that was a bad game. And they got smoked by Kansas State on the road. But again, both those games on the road in Morgantown, hard to not back them. Hard to.
Especially with all the parties that are going on there. Friday night, everyone's going to be waking up. Saturday
another 12 morning. O'clock or UNC Miami. What do you
think?
So
I think Miami sucks. I watched them play against Duke the other night. They suck.
UNC is not any better.
Yeah, but
UNC,
I think they're gonna pummel. Like, imagine being in Miami.
Dude, UNC has lost 5 straight. They lost at Vermont.
The best medicine is Miami who sucks.
Oh,
again, I don't know if I'd bet it, but.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's lost 5 of the last 6.
How about Villanova Providence?
So this one is going to be an interesting one to look at, especially for the line. I'm interested to see where this line opens. I actually think this is a half-decent spot for Providence, okay?
So Providence coming off a loss to Seton Hall.
And Villanova coming off a big win at home versus Butler now has to go on the road to a place where it's pretty tough to play. Like, you know, I know Providence lost to Butler at home, but they've been really good. They crushed Texas, beat Georgetown, beat St. John's. Like, they have some good home wins this year. I would look out. I mean, I'm not sure about an upset, but what the line is, that line is within 2 or 3. Look the fuck out.
The other thing, too, is I'm looking at the Big East standings. Providence, they've played 20 games this year. 11 of them have gone over the total. And in the Big East, and the Villanova's gone over 9.
So let me tell you, Houston Baptist, so I know you don't give a fuck about, their overs right now are something like 18-3 on the year. It's ridiculous. It's like blind bet Houston Baptist overs and retire. So if you're looking for something, a trend to play, again, I don't play trends, but if you're looking for a trend to play, Houston Baptist overs and retire.
One other game. I remember earlier in the year, I liked Rutgers to beat Bryant, and I didn't or whatever. Rutgers is ranked
25th in the country.
So I was on to something.
They went on the road last night. They covered versus Iowa in Iowa. Tough game for them to play. They didn't win, but they covered, and to me, that says something. They at least kept it close.
Yeah, they play Nebraska this week. I watched Nebraska. They hung tough with Wisconsin, but they ended up losing.
Nebraska, again, the problem with Nebraska is offense. You're seeing the Big Ten home teams win because Big Ten offense this year sucks and blows. So you're seeing these home teams get a larger advantage than they usually do because Big Ten offense is down around the league. Now, Rutgers has been fucking awesome. Their 2 losses so far in the last few games at Illinois, at Iowa. They demolished Nebraska at Nebraska. I wouldn't expect anything to change.
So Clemson went on a nice little run. They beat NC State. They beat UNC. They almost beat Duke.
Yep.
Lose to NC State. And then they beat Wake Forest.
Dude,
and
do not knock NC State. To me, that is a sleeper team this year. You want a sleeper team? NC State, look at their record. They're fucking good, dude.
Well, Clemson plays Louisville, who snuck out a win against Georgia Tech a couple of nights ago. But Louisville's won, 1, 2, 3 in a row now?
6.
I like Louisville in the spot.
Louisville's run 6 in a row, including road wins at Duke, at Pittsburgh, and at Notre Dame.
They're on watch, though, because they snuck out that win against Georgia Tech, and now they're playing a Clemson team that has beaten Duke.
I think that was a look-ahead spot for them, a legit look-ahead spot for them. I will say, Louisville's one bump in the road came versus Kentucky a couple weeks ago. On the road to Kentucky, they lost an overtime game. We were actually on Kentucky, or I was on Kentucky on that one. Kentucky pulled it out, but that was a big one. They also lost to Texas Tech, and they got destroyed on a neutral court by them, and that was kind of when they fell a little bit from the graces. But Clemson's really good. I think Clemson's going to give them a fight tomorrow, or Saturday.
I agree.
We'll discuss this game Saturday.
We'll get into all this. LSU-Texas. I think Shaka Smart at some point could get fired.
Dude, he's got to go. I mean, I like Texas.
Maybe he's a small-time program coach. Maybe that's what he is.
I think he is. I mean,
or just Texas has been tough anyways.
But dude, they got ruined at Providence. They weren't in the game at Baylor, lost by 15. Oklahoma beat them by 10. They're losing all these games by double digits. And then Kansas, you finally think, hey, Texas might have a good spot here versus Kansas at home. Winning for a decent portion of the game and get blown out by 9. So it's just, you know, and then they lose at West Virginia by almost 30. Sorry, they lost by 38. Yeah. Like, they're Shaka Smart needs to get fired.
I think it's time to move on. And I'm just kind of scrolling through here. Those were like a lot of the early games. There's a lot of other games in the mix here. Maybe we can get to them later. But
well,
Tennessee.
Why don't we get to them Saturday? You want to listen to the,
Tennessee at Kansas. We know Kansas is going to be without a ton of players. Is this a spot for Tennessee, even though Kansas at home, tough to fade?
My biggest problem right now with Tennessee is offensively their game is so poor. It's tough to see them going on the road and pulling an upset like this. For instance, like, their best road win this year might be Missouri or Vanderbilt. But like, versus legit home, you know, road teams, like, they got smoked by Georgia on the road. They got smoked by Cincinnati on the road. Like, I'm not sure this is a team I'm ready to back on the road. And meanwhile, I know Kansas got curb stomped by Baylor a couple weeks ago at home, but even with the suspensions, I think the spread will be smaller because of that. I'm just not ready to back Tennessee. And then that NC State team that we just talked about quietly, to me, is one of the best non-top 25 teams I've seen in a long time. Their losses at Virginia Tech, at Clemson, and at Auburn. Everything else they have won, including a win on the road at Virginia, which is a tough place to play. Also beat Clemson in the rematch. I'm telling you, dude, look out for this NC State team. They are really, really good. They're in the middle pack of like everything rankings, but they just find ways to win.
Okay, another game later on today, a big one. Kentucky and Texas Tech. It's going to be a barn burner, these two teams.
Yeah, Texas Tech is a team I don't want to see in the tournament. If I'm any one of these teams, I don't want to see Texas Tech. They remind me very much of that NC State team. They just find ways to win. I'm putting Kentucky in upset watch here, okay? Texas Tech is not elite, and they're coming off a bad loss on the road versus TCU, but
they're a tough team, though. Like, they're at home. They want to beat Kentucky.
Dude, they are a really, really impressive team. To me, like,
well, they went on that run last year, you know.
Texas Tech, to me, is incredibly impressive again this year. Kentucky just doesn't look the same. To me, they're not that great. You saw that with the loss at South Carolina and whatever. They went in to beat Arkansas, and maybe they're pulling it together, but I think if there's a legit chance that Texas Tech can take them down here.
All right, and then a couple of games later on, Baylor goes to Florida. I like Florida. I don't know what the spread will be. Baylor got a little scare the other night. Who's the kid that transferred from VTech that's on Florida now?
Blackshear.
I love him. I think he's a good player.
He is. He's very good.
He could dominate inside, man. I like Florida in the spot. We don't have a line yet. I like Florida at home.
Here's my thing about Baylor is you're seeing a lot of these wins. You look at their wins, right, and they're a little bit inflated because what they're doing is they're scoring a lot of points on free throws and stuff. For instance, the game at Oklahoma State, they were down by like 15 or something at half in that game. Now they came back and they won it by 7, and I remember because people had 6.5 or 6 or 5.5 that game. People got fucked on that because Baylor should have won by like 2 or 3 points, if that. Baylor's a really good team. They find ways to win, Joe. I like Florida, but road-wise, they haven't been really good. So they almost beat LSU the other night, but until they can consistently find a way to win on the road, I'm not sure how much I want to back them in that spot.
All right, finally, a nice little road game. Arizona at Arizona State, or sorry, inter-state rival. Arizona's been good. Arizona State's a decent team. I want to see the line, but I think Arizona wins this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is not much of a road trip per se. Arizona State's kind of fallen off a little bit. I mean, They lost to Oregon and lost that game at home to Colorado, who is not
you liked them that night.
Yeah, and not a good road team, Colorado, and they lost by 7. And to be honest with you, they never were really in that game. I think there's a legit chance Arizona wins this. Now, again, Arizona, 3 losses this year, all on the road. So it's like, again, can you win on the road? That's where it really matters. Like, can you pull off these victories on the road? And right now, Arizona has not been able to win on the road. So to me, that is where I would look. Now, they opened the month of January the win on the road at Arizona State, Joe. They beat them by 30. So whatever, but like, you know, they got to win these games. They got to.
And then on Sunday, a couple Big Ten games here. Maryland at Indiana. Indiana at home, man, they're a different team. Maryland has been the much better team. Has been the much better team this year.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, but again, Maryland on the road. Hey, listen, if you want to trust that kid who says that Maryland starts slow first halves, take Indiana first half and take the first half under. I mean, again, he clearly knows more about Maryland basketball than I do, and that's more than fair to say. But Indiana is a good home team, and I think that there's a chance that they will pull that off. I mean, there's some good games Sunday, Joe. We got UCLA, Oregon, Ohio State goes on the road to face your favorites, Northwestern. Xavier Creighton in San Diego State looks to make it 21-0 on the road versus UNLV. Like, there are some good games Sunday. So we'll definitely get to those Saturday during the show. Maybe we'll take a look at it for the Sunday games, and we'll definitely discuss, you know, the Saturday games and what we like once we have some lines.
All right, a lot to get into when we do the live show this weekend, but there's your look ahead for the college basketball weekend. He's Dan Lifschitz. I'm Joe Murray. We'll take a look at the Super Bowl odds as well and any other things that are kicking around this weekend. Shorter show, but again, it's over under 95. We'll get into the Super Bowl coming up next.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
The Super Bowl 54. The San Francisco 49ers with Joe Montana, with Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Kansas City Chiefs with with Patrick Mahomes.
It's the Montana Bowl.
I know. That's all I can think of.
I mean, I know.
1 point spread right now.
One and a half. Well, I mean, let me ask you off the bat. When we started talking about the year early on, okay, we did the NFL preview. I gave you two teams I thought would win the AFC, and I told you to bet them. I gave you the Chiefs at +650 to win the Super Bowl. I gave you the Browns. One looks really good. One does not. Neither of us had the Niners in the Super Bowl, Joe. I had the Cowboys. You had the Packers. So you were close.
Yeah.
I was not on. I went 1-for-4. I would say you went 1-for-4. You had the Patriots, and I can't remember who else you had in the AFC. Might have been the Chiefs. You might have gone 2-for-4. Either way, Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. If you listen to that, you had a nice, free, easy hedge. I don't even have to bet the Super Bowl, Joe. I had $2,000 on the Chiefs future, +650. And I hedged that a little bit throughout the AFC, so it's probably down to about 1,300, but I got 1,300 riding out in the Super Bowl, and I just hedged with the Niners. So, you know, nice, easy, some easy money there that builds the bankroll. Probably gets you $5,000-$6,000. And probably most people didn't bet, you know, $2,000 on features because I'm an idiot, but that's where I make a lot of my money. So if you did that, you don't have to worry about the segment. You don't have to worry about the Super Bowl. Nice and easy for you. If you didn't do that, Joe, what are you thinking in terms of the Super Bowl?
I think as of right now, I like the Chiefs just to win. I'm going to lay off the total for a minute. But we mentioned this morning on Touch and Rich. There have been $100,000 bets on San Francisco all over the place, which makes me think, like, what's Kansas City's weakness at stopping the run? What's the weakness of the 49ers?
Honestly, and this is not a good reflection because I like Jimmy Garoppolo, it's throwing the football.
Yeah.
To me, this game comes down to what happens in the second quarter. I think we've seen that a lot this year, Joe, right? Especially throughout the playoffs. What happens in the second quarter for the Chiefs has dictated the way that they continuously play. They're down 24-0 to Houston. They make that miraculous comeback in the second quarter that are leading at halftime. They're down early to Tennessee, 10-0. They go into the half, I think, either tied or up, you know, up a score or whatever. They pulled the double score right after second half. Kansas City is a second quarter team right now. Whatever they're doing in the second quarter pretty much dictates what they'll do the rest of the game. I'm interested to see and maybe a live bet this thing because I don't know if you're looking particularly for just a single bet. I don't know where to go. Kansas City with the football is going to have, should still have a tough time scoring. Like, San Francisco is a pretty good defensive team. Kansas City is not going to be able to slice them and dice them like Houston and Tennessee. At the same time, I think San Francisco has an edge running the football. And I think that they have a significant edge with just trying to move the football over Kansas City. Kansas City's defense is at best. So the way I break it down is I lean San Francisco just based upon the fact that moving the football and throwing the football, I think San Francisco is the better team.
Can San Francisco take away Travis Kelce?
Yeah, I mean, they can. I wonder if they're what they're going to do with Tyreek Hill then, because you can't double two guys on the field.
Sherman's not going to go one-on-one with him, and he only plays the right side of the field anyways.
Right, and we saw him move around a little bit last week and shadow Devontae Adams, and it didn't go well. So Devontae Adams exposed Sherman when he was moved. When he was on the right side, he was almost unbeatable. Here's my thing, Joe. I like San Francisco and the way that they match up, but Kansas City moves the ball by throwing the football. How do you want to match up with them in the secondary? How do you want to cover Kelce? How do you want to cover Tyreek Hill? Because there's going to be you're going to lose matchups, okay? You're just going to do it. Like, you can't cover Watkins, Hill, and Kelce. You can't do it. And Mahomes makes time in the pocket. You know, does that defensive line for San Francisco cause problems for Mahomes to the point where the secondary may just need to cover for 4 or 5 seconds before it's, you know, it really gets further than that? I don't know. To me, this is the reason this is a one-point spread. It's I think they want even two-way action on this game because I don't think they really know what to expect. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is going to be a blowout and we could be incredibly wrong. But to me, this feels like it feels like a game that's almost impossible to choose a side.
So I lean the Chiefs for the simple fact that they've put up 35, 51, 31, 26, 23. Like, they put up points. And if, let's hypothetically say, the 49ers get behind, can they continue to run the football? Probably not.
No, and so that's where I think that this is why live betting may be something that's useful. They get behind. Do you want Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball 27 times?
I think that's what we're going to find out, right? I think he can.
I think he can too, but I think he's still...
Is it the team's advantage for him to do that? Definitely not.
No. But I think that Garoppolo is error-prone. I think that there is... If he throws the football 27 times, you can almost bet that there's going to be a legitimate chance for an interception on one to two of those throws, in my opinion. He makes some bad decisions. He does. I like the player a lot. I think he's a really good quarterback, maybe borderline top 10. But I kind of related him to Jared Goff. I don't love him yet. I just think that he's a good player, not a great player. And I think that when it comes to breaking down what you're looking for in an actual, you know, a bet, This game is right on the money. It's a 1-point spread. It doesn't matter either way. I really feel that way.
All right, and the total again, it's been moved all over.
Open at 52. It's up to 54.
If the Chiefs win, does it go over? Is that how? Is it the typical? Hey, 49ers win, it stays under. Chiefs win, it goes over.
I mean, usually the correlated trends like that end up happening. Right, last week we said if Kansas City wins, it probably go over. If Tennessee wins, it probably goes under. Well, Kansas City won and covered, and it went over.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that the correlations are, you know, they're there for a reason.
All right, we're gonna do a ton of prop bets next week.
We're gonna cover all your prop bets. So yeah. How about this? Listen to the podcast this week. You have a question about the prop bet? Send it in, DM it. Joe and I will answer it next week. We'll do a prop bet section.
We can answer it here on the podcast and on the new show this
week. Yep, and we will do it on the show. So next weekend we'll do the show. As well, we'll do the Super Bowl prop bets Saturday before Super Bowl Sunday, and obviously we'll talk about that game. We may have a guest on to do some to do some player prop bets too on the Super Bowl again. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Was it the second, the first,
second?
Okay, so something like that. Yeah, so we'll have you know, someone on to discuss player props for that as well, because I know that you guys ask about that a lot. So I mean. Yeah, here's the thing. I think we're still a little bit ways out from really looking into what we want to do, whatever, for the Super Bowl. I think it's like, do you have a good feel on this game right now, Joe?
No, I need more time.
I do too.
I need more time.
I do too.
I'm leaning aside so far.
Me, yeah.
I need something to like sway me off the Chiefs. What is it like? I don't know. Like, is it the wide receivers stand out a little bit more? Because the wide receivers for the Titans played well.
Agreed. I mean, I think that Adam Humphries was really good at getting first downs. He was key for them that game. It was Brown. Who was it who had the long touchdown?
Corey Davis, Brown, and I forget who had it.
Yeah, the offensive line.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that fat guy.
Yeah, the fat guy, Kelly. Something Kelly.
Did you know that he's the heaviest? Dennis Kelly. He's the heaviest player to score a touchdown.
Did you know that that was the guy they traded Doriel Green Beckham for?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, there you go. Remember him? DGB.
Yeah. All right. So, what else we got going on here?
I mean, we don't have much, but you have the Pro Bowl. We have the NHL All-Star Game.
Listen, the Pro Bowl, if you're going to bet the over. That's it. All I got. Anything else? And the hockey stuff? Ugh. I'm sure there's like hard a slap shot and all that shit.
Well, we can look into that for Saturday.
Yeah, we'll do that Saturday morning.
Yeah, agreed.
I did have one question today from a listener. I have to find it.
Okay. How about this? How about I pull up some questions as you try and find that? Does that work?
Yes.
We'll answer a few. Okay. So, basically, okay. So, Joe, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, you have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl right now, okay? You have a future 4-1 for the Chiefs. Say you had $100 on it, just for instance, $100. 100 to win 400. Are you hedging with basically an even bet plus 105 San Francisco money line? Are you locking?
Well, I'll give you an example. I had the Rams last year. For $1,200, and I was like, "All right, how do I do this?" So I bet the Pats money line of the Pats, and the Pats line, and that's how I hedged. So anyway, I was gonna make money,
yeah,
like, no matter what happened. I don't know. I'd let it ride. Why even hedge? Just let it ride.
So I hedged because it was a large amount of money, and I was gonna do it either way. But I think at 400, 500 bucks, just take the chance. Have a side unless you need the money, right? If you need the money, hedge or whatever, take your 200 bucks or whatever it is, have fun. But like, you know, if you're just ride it out. You have a nice, easy, free bet. And if you want to wash it out, put 100 bucks. You're not losing any money and you're having, you have a chance to win 300. You like that?
I do.
Okay.
This one I got. With all the talk around Big Ten home teams straight up and against the spread, do you feel a change of direction to the trend coming?
Yeah, my answer is, and I got that question yesterday too, my answer is still no. And again, I'll kind of repeat how I feel. And Joe, you're a Big Ten college basketball guy. So I kind of defer to you on Big Ten college basketball. Maybe not this year right now. I know you're kind of still
getting
locked
in yet.
But this year, Joe, Big Ten offenses have struggled on the road and just struggled in general. So to me, until you see these Big Ten offenses rebound, it's hard to back road teams because these offenses are struggling. And what gets you W's on the road is scoring. That's what does. I mean, if you take a look at all these ranked teams on the road losing, what's very common with these big ranked teams on the road losing is not only they're not scoring, but the games are going under because they're just not scoring a lot. The games aren't that competitive, you know? We saw the Wisconsin game earlier in the year. Wisconsin blew out. I think it was like Michigan State or someone, whatever. And it wasn't even a remotely close game because Wisconsin was just scoring so much. To me, though, that's the type of thing I would look for. It just, are the Big Ten teams finally scoring? And if they're not, I don't see the trend ending. Now, we've seen a little bit of movement because Maryland obviously came back versus Northwestern, but Northwestern fucking blows. So, I don't know. It's, I would say no, Joe. Not right now. Maybe in later February, maybe closer to conference tournament time.
All right. Anything else for questions?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We had a question why we're not doing college totals. So I just gave you some.
We don't have any right now.
Well, no, I mean college basketball totals. I've only been giving out sides. Why am I not giving out totals? So to me, totals get sharped early on. Like they're easier to get to for the lines to move. So by the time I'm done with everything, because I don't really run my model, my data to 4 or 5 o'clock, maybe sometimes 3 or 2 o'clock, they've already moved to a significant point where there's likely no edge, or if there is an edge, I don't love going against sharps that have moved the line, you know, 4 points in one way. Just, you know, I don't feel great about that. So I stick to the sides. It's been working well for me. I dabble in totals, but I'm just not as good as totals as I am on sides. It's really what it comes down to for a multitude of reasons.
Okay. And just quick NBA stuff. You know, the Celtics beat the Lakers the other night. I still think the Lakers are one of the best teams. The Clippers beat the Mavs the other night in a close game. But in the Eastern Conference, man, it's Bucks or nothing, dude. That's how I feel.
We can get into, I think, the NBA in the next couple weeks. We probably should start getting into it because the All-Star break is definitely coming up. I think, what, 2 weeks?
Maybe yeah, next week? Valentine's Day weekend, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so 2 weeks. Here's what I'll say. I think the Bucks will lose in the Eastern Conference.
To who?
I think it will be either the Sixers or the Celtics.
Well, they'll play the Celtics in the second round the way things are going.
I think the Celtics are going to rebound. I think the Sixers are going to rebound. I think those are going to be the final two teams in the NBA wow. in the East side. And to me, Lakers-Clippers probably comes down to those two teams in the West. Who
I think
is
the
more dominant
more
team?
Deep.
The Clippers are definitely deeper, but, Joe, teams change when buyouts come. And if the Lakers can get a few guys on the buyout market, like, I don't know, an Andre Iguodala, look out. That's what I would say. Those teams can change suddenly just like that. So that's my short NBA minute. You got anything else, Joe? I know you wanted to touch upon wrestling.
Oh!
Did you want to do that quickly?
The Royal Rumble! 30 contestants, men and women, each of their own brand. Every 2 minutes, a new competitor comes to the ring.
All right.
Brock Lesnar will be the number one. We don't know who anything else. They have 20 people already.
I can give you all the odds. They're already up.
So.
I can also give you the women's odds.
The square play is Roman Reigns.
Yes. Yes. He is the favorite at minus 185.
Square as hell. But what happens is if you win the Royal Rumble, you get the main event at WrestleMania. So essentially, Roman Reigns will fight Brock Lesnar or Bray Wyatt.
Gotcha.
If he won.
Do you want me to give you the rest of the odds? Okay. Do you want me to read them all down?
Just tell me what we got.
All right, CM Punk plus 650.
I don't think that's happening. He's back now, but he's not like in WWE.
Back.
He's doing like a thing for Fox.
Okay.
So I'm out.
Okay, so CM Punk plus 650. Kane Velasquez plus 1050.
All right, he's in the Rumble.
Okay.
He's in.
Brock Lesnar plus 750.
So he's the first, and he's, you know, who's going to throw him out?
Not many. I mean, he's the first one
in. Kane Velasquez beat him in a real fight at UFC.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a storyline there.
I don't know. Kevin Owens plus 1050.
That's my pick, 7-1. Kevin Owens.
10.5-1.
Wow, he was 7-1 earlier.
He is 10 plus 1050. Plus 1050. Okay. Drew McIntyre.
So he's a sleeper.
Don't know who the fuck that is.
Oh, no, he's cool. He's an Irish Scotsman.
Plus 400.
He's got the kick there.
Okay. Bray Wyatt plus 1700. All right,
so he's in a match with Daniel Bryan. So the only way I think he enters the Rumble is if he loses the match.
Daniel Bryan plus 2250.
Okay, now that could be a winner.
Okay.
But
Finn Balor plus 2,500.
So Finn Balor is now in NXT, so if they have 10 spots, so he'll get one of the 10, I assume. No, he's not going to win.
Okay, Aleister Black plus 2,000.
So he's up and coming. I think he'll have a good run, but no, he's not winning.
Edge plus 1,200.
So Edge is retired. He hasn't fought in 10 years. He has concussion issues, but there's been rumors that he might be coming back. I doubt it.
Keith Lee plus 1,650.
He is a mammoth of a man. Huge man. I think he hangs around, but he doesn't win.
Braun Strowman plus 2,250.
That's the best odds on the table. The guys, have you seen Braun Strowman?
Yes.
He can lift ambulances.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing. He's the guy. Who's going to throw his ass out? That's great odds right there.
Agreed.
The problem is, will WWE give him a WrestleMania push? I know it's scripted, everybody.
I can't believe I said agreed. I know
nothing
about
it. It's scripted. It's scripted. I get it. But that guy at that odds? Best odds on the table right there.
John Cena plus 3,000.
So that's a legitimate play. John Cena comes back, hasn't been wrestled all year, wins, and then has a WrestleMania like match against Brock Lesnar. That's money right there.
Tyson Fury plus 3,000.
Nah, he's gonna fight Wilder on the 22nd. Like, he can't. Imagine if he got hurt in wrestling and he fucked up the fight.
Okay.
We'll be breaking that down, too.
AJ Styles plus 3,000.
So that's another guy that's, like, awesome, but I can't see him winning.
Andrade plus 5,500.
Andrade dates Charlotte Flair. Good for him.
Okay,
good. He ain't winning, though.
Big E plus 5,500. No. Kofi Kingston plus 5,000.
Always has a moment, though. Always.
Okay, Lars Sullivan plus 5,500.
I don't even know if he'll be in it. That guy's a train wreck.
Matt Riddle plus 5,500.
Ooh, bro. Guy gets high. I love him.
Interesting.
He's a stoner.
Randy Orton plus 5,500.
He's won it two times.
I know. He won the last one, right? Or a couple years ago? A
couple years ago.
Okay, I remember that. It's Jimmy Abney put in a bet on him and it won. Ricochet plus 4,000.
So there was I've met Ricochet here at 95 The Sports. He said he wanted to fight Brock Lesnar.
Interesting.
And then Brock kicked him in the balls.
Okay. Samoa Joe.
That's my guy.
500.
Samoa Joe is like my guy. So I picked Owens. If it ain't Owens, it's Joe.
Seth Rollins plus 5,500.
I mean, the odds are fantastic.
Everyone hates him, right?
Yeah, but the odds, though?
Yeah.
That's like phenomenal odds. I don't think he wins.
The Rock plus 5,500.
All right. The Rock's father passed away last week. Like, could he get emotional and like jump in? And then have his WrestleMania moment.
I don't know.
Because, like, The Rock versus Brock Lesnar? Or The Rock versus Bray Wyatt?
I would take The Rock, but I know nothing about
it. If you know what I'm
shit.
Saying, right? Yes. Like, money, money, money.
Yep. Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, Ciampa, no. I love him, though.
Plus 4,500.
Local.
Adam Cole plus 6,000.
Adam Cole, baby! Nope.
Even I know this guy, Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio Jr. is going to fight in a. He's fighting Andrade for a championship.
Rusev plus 6,000.
Rusev, who's here? Rusev Mashka. Nope.
The Miz plus 4,500.
Nope, sorry, buddy.
Okay. Baron Corbin plus 8,500.
Ooh, he won it recently.
85-1, Baron Corbin. Buddy Murphy, 8,500 nope. as well. Conor McGregor, 8,500. He's like 5'1". There's no way.
Imagine Conor McGregor versus Brock Lesnar in WWE.
I feel like that would not go well for Conor.
WrestleMania, though?
Oh, it'd be great entertainment. I'm just saying.
That'd be like better than Mayweather, I think.
Elias plus 8,500.
Yeah, all right. Well, all right, go to the women.
Okay. On to the women. By the way, how about this? Jeff Hardy plus 15,000.
Sorry. He is not woken. He is not broken. He is joking, Matt Hardy. Okay.
All right, so the women, we have Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler, former UFC fighter, former NXT champion.
She's the favorite. -275.
I'll just tell you this right now. It'd be great if she won. It'd be great. So just to give you a little heads up on wrestling, there's the Four Horsewomen. She's one of them. My pick's Ronda Rousey. What's her?
Ronda Rousey is the second favorite at plus 450.
So Shayna versus Ronda would be like, whoa. Two UFC fighters going at it. Charlotte Flair is probably on that list, right? Sasha Banks is probably on that list. I'll wrap this up quickly.
Let's see. I'll just rip through them. Rhea Ripley plus 1,100.
Rhea Ripley's a sleeper.
Charlotte Flair plus 700. Sasha Banks plus 1,250.
That's a good odds.
Lacey Evans plus 1,700.
So that's my girl right there.
Kairi Sane plus 2,000.
No.
Becky Lynch plus 3,000.
That's if she loses.
Nikki Cross plus 3,500.
She's crazy.
Alexa Bliss plus 3,000.
I like her.
Liv Morgan plus 4,000.
She is a little hottie.
Nia Jax plus 3,500.
Now, Nia's been out for a bit.
Nia Jax.
But she can throw out some women.
AJ Lee plus 4,500.
That's CM Punk's wife. I don't know.
Ruby Riott plus 4,500.
She's been gone for a while.
Asuka plus 5,000.
Asuka.
Okay,
she's the champ. She's fighting.
It's spelled Asuka.
She's fighting Becky. Sorry.
Okay, Bailey plus 5,000.
Fuck Bailey.
Carmella plus 5,000.
That's my girl.
Mandy Rose plus 5,000.
Oh, God's greatest creation.
Paige plus 2,500.
All right, that's it. No more.
Sonya Deville plus 6,500. Candice LeRae plus 8,000.
No.
Dana Brooke plus 8,000. Io Shirai plus 6,000.
Okay, no. I think Shayna Baszler wins. I'm going to pick Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
And if not, I'm going to take Ruby.
Okay, we got some WWE Universal Championship. You want those?
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt is minus 600 versus Daniel Bryan. Becky Lynch minus 395 versus Asuka.
Becky, Asuka.
Asuka, whatever. It seems shit. Roman Reigns minus 210 versus King Corbin.
Reigns.
Sheamus minus 795 versus Shorty G.
Oh my
and
God.
Bailey is minus 190 versus Lacey Evans.
Okay, don't care.
There you go.
All we care about is the Rumble.
You know why? I know nothing about
this
wrestling.
This is the road to WrestleMania.
But you know what? I noticed that there are a lot of guys who really do like wrestling who listen to the podcast. So there you go.
If
you want to bet some stuff, Joe just gave
and
you some
And our good
sleepers.
Friends over at Wrestling Inside the Ropes. They have picks over there.
Listen to their podcast. By the way, we did not give a single PP this podcast. Let me change that. If you listen to the end, let me give Iona minus 2 PP tomorrow.
Do they still score a million points?
They do. Yeah. So Iona minus 2 PP. There you go. We gave a 1 PP. Joe, you got anything for tomorrow you like?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. So we don't have much today. No, not a lot on the podcast. Saturday, listen to the show. They will be up. The podcast will be up by 9 a.m. If you don't get it, live show 7 to 8 a.m. Call in 617-779-0985. That's the call-in number. Ask us any questions you want. You cannot swear. If you swear, we got to drop you and ban you. Sorry, be careful what you say. We'll answer all your college basketball questions and we'll give out multiple plays on the show. I will give out multiple plays. Joe, you think you're going to have any college basketball Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. We will give out college basketball plays on Saturday. So there's one for Friday. I'm not putting out any other plays tomorrow. Listen, Saturday, we'll do that. Got anything else, Joe?
This is over under 985.
Who you got?
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.